Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're at all familiar with the Bible, and certainly if you're familiar with the Lutheran Church, you know that there are two main teachings that run throughout the Scriptures: the Law and the Gospel. They also run throughout our divine service. That's by design, and they also run throughout every sermon. And you know what they do, I think. The Law reveals God's will for mankind, for mankind's behavior. The Gospel reveals God's plan for sinful mankind's salvation. The Law accuses. The Gospel saves. The Law declares to you what you are to do. The Gospel declares what you are to believe. The Gospel is about works. The Law is about works. The Gospel is about faith. They go back and forth. The Law says the sinner must die. The Gospel says believe in Christ, who died in the sinner's place. Both doctrines come from God. Both are the truth. Obviously, the Gospel is the one that we're about in the Christian church. But we don't downplay the Law either, or say that the Law is no longer worth anything. It has a purpose. Maybe you remember this mnemonic device. Maybe you learned it sometime. The Law, S-O-S, shows our sin. And the Gospel, S-O-S, shows our Savior. Today, in our Gospel from Luke chapter 10, Jesus, the Master Teacher, weaves together Law and Gospel so intricately that the very same parable of the Good Samaritan preaches both the sternest Law, and to those whom Jesus chooses to enlighten by His Holy Spirit, it preaches the sweetest Gospel. Learn this lesson today from the Good Samaritan. The Law is good, but I am not. Thank God for the Good Samaritan. As Law, the Good Samaritan shows us our sin. As Gospel, the Good Samaritan shows us our Savior. That expert in the Law, call him a lawyer, approached Jesus to test him. He knew the Law. He didn't need anybody to teach him what it said. He knew it backwards and forwards. He relied on it. But Jesus, this rabbi, was gaining in popularity, teaching something that didn't quite sound like the Law, and yet it didn't get rid of the Law. What could he possibly be teaching? So he asked him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You see how he's coming from the Law perspective already. What must I do? He figures Jesus must be saying that the Law of Moses is deficient, that it's not good. But no, that's not what Jesus said. He turned this man back to the Law, as he turns everyone back to the Law. What does the Law say? How do you read it? Ah, he knew the answer. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. What would Jesus add to that? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus said, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." That sounds simple. Or at least, if not simple to do, at least achievable, at least possible, right, with lots of hard work. And yet, no. Not if you take the Law seriously. It's not possible. Jesus' answer took that lawyer off guard. He didn't say, well, you've done everything you need to do to inherit eternal life. Good for you. He didn't say, you're doing it, just keep up the good work. He didn't say, just try hard to keep the law. Try your best and God will do the rest. He didn't say that. He said, do this. Do this and you will live. Well, if it's about doing this, perfect love for God and perfect love for my neighbor, I'm doomed, the lawyer thought. But maybe I can find a little loophole in the law. Jesus, who do you mean? Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan to illustrate to the one who relied on the law just what it looks like to keep God's law of love, to love your neighbor as yourself. It looks like a man who has been robbed and beaten and left for half dead on the side of the road. And two of the most religious people in all the land see their fellow countrymen there and decide to leave him there and pass by on the other side of the road. That's not what love your neighbor as yourself looks like. But then a Samaritan comes by, one of those half Jews, the people from Samaria who had some Jewish blood left but mixed with the blood of lots of other countries after their nation was destroyed and sent into exile. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews and mistreated by the Jews, and they hated the Jews right back, except for this one. This Samaritan comes along and sees this Jewish man half dead and bleeding on the side of the road and takes pity on him. See, it's not about guilt. It's not about, boy, there's somebody who's injured. I guess I'd better get over there and see if I can help. I don't wanna. No, it's pity, pure love, and mercy. And in mercy, the foreigner goes over to the Jewish man and bandages his wounds and pours on oil and wine, the best medicine could offer in those circumstances. Picks up the man and lays him on his own donkey, sacrifices his ride to the next town, and is content to walk alongside. Gets to the inn where they can stop, and he can tend to the man's wounds some more and pour on more medicine. And then he charges the innkeeper to keep taking care of the man while he had to go on his journey, gives him money for any extra expenses, and then promises to return and take care of the man and any extra expenses that were incurred. That's love. That's what love your neighbor as yourself looks like. That's mercy. And the expert in the law had to agree with Jesus. It was the Samaritan who kept the law of love. It was the Samaritan who loved and did what God's command required. And so Jesus reveals that loving your neighbor as yourself has absolutely nothing to do with what another person does to you or for you. It has nothing to do with how somebody else treats you. It doesn't have anything to do with how friendly somebody else is to you. It has to do entirely with you being a friend. Being a friend to the one in your path who needs your help, and you have help to give, and giving all the help you can give with your heart and with your hands and with your wallet. That's what it is to love your neighbor without giving even a moment's thought to what your neighbor might be able to do for you in return. Go, Jesus said to the expert in the law, go and do likewise. That's what the law requires of you. Do this, and you will live. You have to agree with Jesus. You have to agree with the expert in the law this is good. What God's law requires is good. What that good Samaritan did, that's goodness. That's love. That's exactly what we should do for each other all the time. The law is good, but I am not. You will find in your heart no such love like that the Good Samaritan showed. The Good Samaritan stands up here on a pedestal. We look at it, we say, that's so good. But if you look at your heart, that's not what you'll see. How easily are you angered by things that other people do to you? How quickly do you lose your patience with them? How quick are you to forgive from the heart the one who comes to you in sorrow over the terrible wrong that they've done to you? How much time or energy have you been willing to devote to your fellow believers this morning, even saying good morning with a smile on your face, much less open your wallet to someone who needs your help, much less serve your enemies or the one who has mistreated you? How much have you prayed for the one who you don't like? The Good Samaritan shows us our sin. The Good Samaritan convinces us that the law is God. What God requires is good and right, but I am neither good nor right, because even in my best moments, I am not the picture of love that the Good Samaritan was. Not to my friends, much less to my enemies. And then the words of the Apostle John really hit home in his first epistle. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Do this and you will live, then I am dead. So thank God for the Good Samaritan. He serves to snap you out of your dream world in which you thought you were trying hard enough so that Jesus could make up the difference. He snaps you out of your dream world in which you thought you were a pretty good person most of the time. Go and do likewise. That's like, and some of you have heard this illustration before, that's like a police officer who pulls over an obviously drunk driver, pulls him out of the car and says, walk a straight line. It would be great if he could, but he can't. But to those who have been killed and crushed by this law, to those who despair of themselves and their works, the Good Samaritan is something more, much more. The Good Samaritan shows us our Savior. Rewind the story of the Good Samaritan in your mind. Who is the one who is assaulted, robbed of all his possessions, left bleeding and dying, helpless on the side of the road? Isn't it you? Isn't it you who have been assaulted by the devil, robbed of any spiritual strength or goodness or power you had, absolutely unable to help yourself? You're at the mercy of everything. That's you. And your fellow countrymen, your fellow human beings, they can't help you. They're unwilling, they're unable. And then someone comes by riding on a donkey. Does that bring up any images of, say, Palm Sunday, Holy Week? Should. It's a foreigner sent from heaven, the Son of God, and yet related to you by human blood. The Samaritan is Jesus. He sees you not good, not in good shape, bleeding and dying without any hope. He goes to you. He bandages your wounds. He, the great physician, is wounded for you on the cross, and by your wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. Remember, Isaiah said that. He takes you to the inn, we call them churches, and places you in the care of an innkeeper, a caretaker of souls, we call them pastors. He provides them with the money that they need to take care of you until he returns. That's the gospel in word and sacrament. Churches are just hospitals. Don't come to church looking for a bunch of good Samaritans. Come to church because you need a hospital, because you're sick and you need a physician. You have one in the Good Samaritan. And here, in this hospital that cares for wounded people and distributes the medicine of word and sacrament, here you'll be cared for. Your soul will be. And the Good Samaritan promises to return. Now that's where the parable ends. Jesus doesn't go on, but the rest of the New Testament gospel fills in the blanks for us. The Good Samaritan will indeed return. And when he returns to look in on the one who was injured, he won't just wave at you on his way. He'll take you home with him to eternal life in heaven. This is the revelation of the gospel that the lawyer in our text didn't get. This is the revelation of the gospel in the New Testament that was hidden for long ages but revealed in Christ and by Christ and through his apostles. The law was always good and still is. But the law was never meant to save anyone. The law reveals how far short mankind falls of true goodness. The gospel reveals that salvation is by faith alone in Christ. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in the epistle today. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. See, the scripture doesn't declare that you should all go out and be good Samaritans, and that's how you gain eternal life. The scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe, not to those who do. The law is good. It still shows you what goodness looks like. If you're wondering today as you leave here, if you're wondering how to treat your neighbor, first remember, it's not about who is my neighbor. It's about being a neighbor to the one who needs your help. Then you know who your neighbor is, who you can be a neighbor to. If you're wondering who to treat as your neighbor today and tomorrow and the day after that, remember the Good Samaritan. Go and do likewise. Yes, but don't for a moment think that that's how you will inherit eternal life. Because if your eternal life depends on your love, then you are doomed. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The law answers, you must do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you should, but you don't. The gospel says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Therefore, repent and believe in Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who loved you, who gave himself for you, and who now tends to your wounds with the medicine of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Thank God for the law that shows you what is good, but thank him all the more for the gospel, through which all the goodness of God comes to the aid of those who are not good. Thank God for the Good Samaritan, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.